On unanimous vote last night, the Phoenix City Council acted to set new regulations and policies for sober living homes. It's a comprehensive package that'll include new zoning regulations and a licensing structure. Activists in neighborhoods in many parts of the city had been concerned about a number of aspects related to the homes, including the quality of life for people in and around them. Jeff Spellman of Take Action Phoenix has been heavily involved in the neighborhood efforts and is with me. Jeff, what are the new regulations the council approved going to do? Are there going to be more inspectors, for example, to look more deeply into these sober living homes?
It's pretty comprehensive. So, one, there's the zoning side of it, and the zoning side of it really aims to protect the integrity of neighborhoods and to ensure that there aren't too many structured sober living homes in an area where they're concentrated or, you know, a concentration of them in one area. So that's one aspect of it. And there's a whole group of zoning regulations that the city put forward that will basically not allow this concentration to happen. So the premise is that any neighborhood can accommodate probably one on a block. But if you get five lined up on a block, the whole idea is that for them to be in a neighborhood, and they have a right to be in a neighborhood, it's the law. Mm-hmm. People are allowed to live where they want to live. But in this case, what you want in a structured sober living home is for people to normalize off of a normal neighborhood. And so if you have one in a block, they normalize off of their neighbors that are going about business in the way we all do. If you have five on a block, they normalize off of the other addicts on that street. And then the second piece of it, and this is the first time the city of Phoenix doesn't even have general business licensing. This is the first time they've gone to license these types of businesses, I guess you call it. And so the licensing is really where the teeth is. And so the licensing aspect of it is where we're going to get the health and safety regulation. And this includes, you know, they're going to have to go through an application process. Anybody who has a structured sober living home will have to go through an application process. They'll have to pay a fee. The city of Phoenix will come and inspect their facility to make sure that it's safe, that there's basic good, you know, building safety going on there.
So how soon does it go into effect? And as an addendum to that, can the city of Phoenix really follow through on some of this? I mean, this is going to involve, I presume, hiring some people or redirecting people to actually do these things that aren't being done currently.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm sure there will be a little bit of startup time. The law actually goes into effect. It's in effect now, but it really goes into effect 30 days from now. Mm-hmm. Anytime the city council passes a new law ordinance, it goes into effect 30 days afterwards. So in that time frame, I assume that the city will be, you know, distributing information, probably doing, you know, press releases and so forth, so that the community, so that the sober living home industry knows that now you have to go through these processes. They've always had to register with the city for the zoning side of it, but this is the first time they'll actually have to go through the licensing side of it. The good part of the industry knows this is coming, and they will tell their members that are in their professional associations, if you're a good operator, now is the time. Go down to the city, get registered. If you're not already, get licensed, go through everything. You'll be good to go. And that's what they've been told all along. The good operators don't have anything to worry about. The bad operators who've been flying under the radar and being these negative impacts on the neighborhoods, they're the ones that are either going to have to very, very quickly clean up their act or they're going to pack up and move.
Can we label this simply the phrase a quality of life issue? This was simply when we take into account everything, it was really that this was affecting the ability of other residents, other citizens to live their lives in a comfortable, safe way, at least in their perception.
Yeah, that's how it started out for us.
Yeah.
It started out for us that way. And then the more that we looked into it, the more we researched what was going on around the country, we just saw horror stories after horror stories about people dying from lack of care, appropriate care. We found places in our own neighborhoods where people were living in tents in the backyard, in old broken down motorhomes, in deplorable living conditions. And it's like, nobody deserves this. I don't care what their past has been. Nobody deserves this. And so, yeah, it's a quality of life for the people that are trying to get their lives in order and recover. And yes, it's also a quality of life for the residents in the neighborhoods where they're located, because it is. I mean, you don't want people in institutions. You want them integrated back into the neighborhood and support people that are, you know, trying to do the best that they can.
Jeff Spellman of Take Action Phoenix. Jeff, thanks.
You're welcome.